Welcome to Career Tools. This week, communicating with a boss who is younger or older than you. The questions this cast answers are, how do I effectively communicate with a boss who is older than me? How do I effectively communicate with a boss who is younger than me? And what's different about communicating across generations?
Hey folks, it's Mark again. Just a reminder, if you're talking to people older or younger than you, or somebody taller or shorter from a different country or a different gender, you may struggle a little bit because they don't have your background and maybe words don't mean the same thing. And the solution to that is easy. Attend one of our effective communicator conferences. It's our conference that people say the most exciting and fun. And people love it because it gets you out of your comfort zone and teaches you that communication is what the listener does. We've got to pay attention to how other people behave if we want to be effective. Come to the website. You can do it virtually or you can do it in person. I hope to see you there.
Putting people into generations is it's a bit of a wishy-washy science, but when I looked it up, it said there are 6 generations currently in the workforce, millennials being 4, I think, and then, or 5, and then there's another one. And the likelihood of your boss being from a generation older or younger than you is pretty high. Even, 50 years ago, bosses were always a generation older than you.
Right.
And that causes a lot of concern. And we often get asked, my boss is a lot younger than me. What should I do? My boss is a lot older than me. How should I handle that? And so in this guidance, we're going to tell you.
Yeah, our outline's pretty simple. We have 3 points. Number 1 is don't change anything. Number 2 is use DISC. For those of you who are familiar with manager tools and career tools, you'll know that we are huge proponents of DISC around here. And our last point is identify what's important to them.
So we should have put this out near April, and everybody would have thought that we were suddenly changing our tune about generation and communication. And we're not. So we're going to tell you don't change anything based alone on the fact that your boss is older and younger than you. You can change it for other reasons, which we're going to talk about, but not because of their age. Because people's communication preferences are not a function of their age or sex or ethnicity or any other group that you can put people in. They're a function of the individual's preferences. And the most effective way to communicate is to find out what that individual's communication preferences are. You can't say all, 50-year-old men prefer to send emails because it's not true. They don't.
Right.
Hi, I still want to talk to you. There's always going to be that person who likes the face-to-face conversation. There's always going to be a person who likes to have the time to think to send an email, or someone who wants to communicate in the briefest way possible and therefore uses text. There's all sorts of differences. And none of them are based on age.
Yeah, I think the important part here, Wendy, and maybe I'm being a little reductive, is it starts with preferences. We're going to gloss past that because we're getting deeper into other things. But if you're not communicating based on what your audience prefers, the way your audience prefers to be communicated, that's step one. You have to do that, right?
You're right, yeah.
We hope that we've kind of belabored that point enough so that we can get into some of the deeper nuances. But that's where it starts. I mean, you can't communicate to people based on anything else because then it's going to be, by definition, less effective.
And so the Wendy curve, which Mark named after me, applies here. So the research that highlights differences between groups of all kinds shows that the differences between individuals within those groups almost always exceeds those between groups. I have to read that really slowly and carefully because it has to be correct. So, to make it more general, a study might show that baby boomers prefer to communicate face-to-face. But if you look at all of the baby boomers, there's a bigger difference between the one who most wants to communicate face-to-face and the one who least wants to communicate face-to-face. There's a bigger difference between those two than there is between a baby boomer and a millennial, for example.
Right. And those two are within the same group.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the important part, is differences are larger among individuals than they are between groups. I mean, that's
exactly.
It's so I mean, it's so crucial to understand as you're thinking about communication or communication, because that's where, I mean, as we talk through those preferences, right? We got to get past these ideas, these stereotypes, those types of things. And I mean, you referenced the Wendy Curve cast. It's got to be Hall of Fame. If it's not Hall of Fame. Yeah, I was going to say, it's so good. I re-listened to it again in preparation for this cast. So good. I mean, it's so good when you think of, I think Mark made a point in that cast of, if you think of all of these kind of generalizations, right? You know, they're usually said or articulated very, very cleverly to say things like, well, most or some, right? But what people are really saying, if they're really trying to give you guidance in terms of, you know, most baby boomers prefer to communicate face to face. Well, what they're really saying is all. That's what you should base your behavior on.
Yeah.
Is all. And no one would actually say that.
It's not true. Right. Yeah. What you hear that the headline says baby boomers, yeah. And then because of the way our brains work, you read that as all baby boomers, and that's not what was said in the statistics or the survey at all. I was just writing three random things before this, and it said something like, I don't know, 64% of people are worried that they won't have enough money in retirement. And then when you actually looked at it, in the survey of 3,000 people, they did 64%. It's not 64% of everybody in the world, which is kind of what you think when you read the headline.
Of course. It's
64% of 3,000 particular individuals. So every time you read one of those headlines, every time you read something that says communication with this group, however those people are grouped, there are differences if you look from a country level, from a very big group level, but the differences in those groups is bigger than the differences between the groups. And you probably are not communicating with a large enough group to know that that difference happens. You're communicating with one person, your boss, and that person's preferences could be anywhere in the spectrum. And so it's important to work out what those are.
Exactly. Yeah. I think this is so easy to think about if you reverse the roles and you think about yourself, right?
Yeah.
And you just answer the question, well, would I want to be communicated to because of a group that I belong to?
Right. A lot of people say, you know, I was doing a test drive of a car and the guy said to me, do all English people drive this fast? I don't know, but I do. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not representative of English people. And I have no idea, you know, and
right.
I don't want to be thought of as a representative of that group because I could be doing them a disservice.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of my little pet peeves about some of the articles that you'll read is that headline that grabs you, you know, like you said, 63% of a group or people, right? There's another pet peeve we're going to get into of mine, and I think yours as well, but we'll explore that. Much of the research into generational differences is not really about communication preferences themselves, but about the application of those communication preferences. So you cited an article that was published in the International Journal of Adolescence and Youth entitled Bridging the Communication Gap Between Generation Y and the Baby Boomer Generation. This article is not seeking to establish whether or not it's true that the two generations have different communication preferences, but it's really more of a literature review of solutions to the problem of differences in communication preferences.
In other words, they assume a problem exists, and then they tell you, here's a review of the solutions.
Right.
A problem we haven't established exists.
Yes, exactly. And then you followed the citation chain, right? So you followed through what was cited.
Because this person says it's based on this research, and then you go to that research, and it says it's based on this research, and you keep going until you find the first one. And one of the articles that was widely cited said, the title was, Are Generational Differences in Work Fact or Fiction? And the very first sentence of it says, results are outside the parameters of significance. In other words, statistically, there is no significance. There are no differences in what we looked at. And everybody, a whole, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000 people had written articles based on that article and making the assumption that there were differences shown, which there were, but they just weren't significant. And anybody who understands math can explain that to everybody else, because I can't. But there's a range at which it doesn't matter, it doesn't count, it isn't important, and that's where those differences fell.
Right. You see that a lot in terms of articles and stuff. I follow a lot of like sports stuff, right? And there's constantly, you know, someone will say, oh, there's a source that says, you know, this coach is going to get fired or this player is going to be traded or something. And you'll go, well, I wonder who the source is, mm-hmm. right? And it turns out the source is either themselves, yeah. right? They're just speculating. There's no, you know, there's no ground in reality or fact. Or their source is another journalist
yeah.
who... Well, wait a second. Now we're just going. Yeah. Now we're just going round and round with no real facts to back anything up.
It's the same as two people in a pub, and one goes to the other. Oh, I reckon that blank should be fired.
Right, and then the other person leaving that conversation and saying, you know, 100% of the people that I've talked to yes. about this say that that person's going to be fired.
Right.
You talk to one person at a bar.
Yeah, statistics stem lies and what is it? Statistics, stems to statistics and like, no, I can't even do it. But anyway, yeah. Statistics, not always what they are. And there is no valid research that actually demonstrates that people have communication preferences which can be predicted by their age. So we're going to tell you, as we always have, put aside what group someone falls into and communicate with them as the individual that they are.
Absolutely. And the way that we recommend you do this is by using DISC. DISC is scientifically valid. It's a method of discovering someone's communication preferences using their behavior. We can reliably predict someone's communication preference by knowing their DISC profile, because their profile is based on their behavior, based on what they do, right? So DISC is not, unlike, you know, assumptions based on what generation you belong to, is not a way of stereotyping people into groups. The way that I tell people this in conferences is, sometimes people will say, well, isn't that kind of, you know, grouping people together, mm-hmm. right? And I say, well, sure, yeah, I mean, to a degree, but we're not grouping them together based on, you know, something like, because sometimes people will bring up, you know, astrology, right? Mm-hmm. And well, should you manage people or talk to people differently because they're Aquarius or Capricorn? Well, you have no control over
right.
when you were born and you can't change it. Your behavior, the way that you choose to communicate based on your preferences, you have 100% control over. You can change it. You can, you know, it's the best indicator.
Yeah, and it may not indicator. Be conscious. It may be unconscious.
Yeah, totally.
But you can still change it. Whereas a lot of this stuff is based on an accident of birth, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
If you look at the stuff that's based on generational cohorts, they work down from the global events during a person's life, and they assume that all of the individuals react the same way to those events. So, for example, you often see that technology advances during their formative years is why millennials and younger people prefer communication methods that they can use on their phone, right? And they don't want to talk to people. But DISC works up from the observed behaviors of an individual. And rather than saying they want to use their phone for communication, we actually watch a millennial and go, okay, let's see if in the 100 ways he could have communicated this, the 100 things he communicated this week, how many of them were on his phone? And then we work from there, right?
Right.
SMS and instant message are used by those who want to communicate quickly, like D's and I's.
Right. SMS is text messages, just for
yeah, sorry. Moment. Yeah, for the old people, SMS is text messages. People who prefer richer forms of communication, S's and C's sometimes, use the phone and they actually make voice calls on their phone. It's still a phone. Other people type long emails on their phone. They still express their different communication preferences using the same device. So the device isn't helpful to you. But people use the communication method that most fits with their way of thinking about the way communication should be handled.
Exactly. So we'll just go through briefly a quick high-level overview of DISC. Trust me, there are several podcasts that you should listen to if you're interested in DISC, but we'll give you a quick high-level overview of the four profiles. So the first profile is high D. So high Ds are assertive and task-focused. So high Ds use methods of communication which are fast and require the minimum amount of work. High Ds might use text because it's already on their phone rather than opening a separate WhatsApp or Slack or another method or medium or app. Equally, they might use email because it's readily available, right? And they're in their email all the time. It's there and they can type quickly. And another good thing about email is it's less likely that there's going to be a back and forth, right?
Exactly.
Because some people don't really access email on their phone as much and they're more on their computer. So they may not see it. That limits some of the back and forth.
Yeah, that whole text message and you get an instant response as a high D, sometimes that's not what you want. Okay, so high I's are assertive and people-focused. And high I's also use text because it's fast, but also because they like it's an informal method of communication. And that allows them to connect with the person that they're communicating with. They like the fact that you can do emojis on your phone, which you can now do in email, but you couldn't originally.
Yeah.
Dating
but GIFs, you can't do GIFs.
You can't do a GIF, no.
Certainly not as easily.
And a high I might call a meeting because they like to have people around and they also like to have all the people in the room, then we can make a decision and we can go fast. So there's two completely opposing ways of communicating there. Fast on text, but also faster if you get the group together.
Yeah. I'll also add, Wendy, I think that for high eyes, calling the meeting, that's spot on. But also I think because high eyes are so people focused that they say they may err on the side of calling a meeting or something like that to make sure that if there are any misconceptions or misrepresentations, right, people can ask their questions, they can get, you know, their voice heard, and they can get a better read on how that information is landing, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So then we have our high C's. Our high C's are reserved and task-focused. High C's prefer written communication because writing gives them time to think, to be more accurate, to communicate correctly when they do, and to structure their communication carefully. Because they're not people-focused, they avoid face-to-face, video, voice communication. They would prefer in writing.
And it's not so much that they don't like those methods as they recur to email because it works better for them. It's not that they don't want to see you. It's that it doesn't occur to them that seeing you is a necessary part of the conversation, the communication.
I happen to think that all four of the different profiles engage in the behaviors they engage in with positive intent, right?
Yes,
so absolutely. I think that high C's would prefer to write an email, not just because it's their preference, but they may see that it's more valuable. They may say, you know, it would be more valuable for me and for you if I put this in an email so that you can refer back to it. Or if you're not clear, you know, if for some reason I don't get my message across over the phone, you can reread an email.
Yes.
You can't re-listen to a phone call.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, last one is high S's are reserved and people-focused. And so high S's also value communicating slowly and correctly. Their people focus pushes them towards face-to-face meetings or phone calls. And they like the high eyes, like Andrew was saying, they want to be able to ask questions. They want you to be able to ask questions and they want to hear and address concerns. So being face-to-face helps facilitate that. And they can also see someone's face and see if they're saying yes, but their face says, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. Now, the interesting thing about DISC is that DISC profiles, these four profiles that we've highlighted, high D, high I, high S, and high C, are equally distributed among really all demographics, but specifically for our content today, it's age groups. So an older high D, even though they didn't have cell phones maybe in their youth, they'll learn to use one because the incentive is there, right? Mm-hmm. They have a mechanism to communicate quickly and efficiently. A high C may not, since she already has a communication method that works for her, email on her desktop computer, right? You know, the age is such a falsehood in terms of communication preference and behavior.
Yeah. Communication method preferences are not driven by age, but what the person desires from that communication. So watching your boss, analyzing their DISC profile, that will give you an idea of what they value in communication. And that tells you how best to communicate with them. It's that part that's important, not their age.
Totally.
Hey, folks. Mark again, one more time. If you're listening to this cast and you're not a member, and I don't mean a licensee, where you have to pay $200 a year to get access to all of our show notes and executive tools and the interviewing series, come to think of it, which is sick in terms of value. But if you're not even a member, if you're not getting emails from us, you don't get reminders and so on, I would encourage you to become one. If you're benefiting from the cast, then we'd love to know about you. We promise we won't bombard you with emails. We just want to know who you are. We understand our community better and give you what you need in order to make you an effective manager or a productive professional. Please come and sign up on the website. It's free.
Our last point here is identify what's important to them. And, you know, this is the most basic relationship guidance among humans, right? You'll have a better relationship with anyone in any part of your life if you identify what's important to them and then act accordingly. If watching Star Trek is an important leisure activity for your spouse, becoming a Trekkie is a good way to have a better relationship. At work with your boss, start with what's important to them professionally. However, being interested in the things that they find important personally will help your relationship too, right? Finding those things that are important to them, whether they be commonalities or whether they be, you know, they don't always have to be things that are you have in common with them. That's, I think, a misnomer. I think a lot of people think that. Like, it has to be something that, you know, we find common ground or we both have a common interest. No, just knowing what's important to them is the first step.
Mm-hmm. And having enough of an interest to say, hey, tell me more about that. Right. You know, it's not that you suddenly have to take up golf because your boss does. But enough to say, hey, did you have a good round? Or, you know, how did you score? Or were the greens good? Or something.
Right.
So that,
you
know, you show an interest.
Yeah. Knowing that in golf, the lower number, the better.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
That's a good start. So your 25-year-old boss might have set their goal on being the top salesman before they're 30. But equally, they might be working to live and more interested in their volunteer work than getting ahead at work. Your 50-year-old boss might have started the knowledge transfer process in anticipation of retirement. But equally, your 50-year-old boss might have more energy than everybody else put together, setting goals and expecting everyone to meet them and achieve them. None of that stuff is based on their age. It's based on what they want from their life.
Absolutely. There's so many different scenarios. You know, I mean, the scenarios are endless. And you listening, like the listener who's listening to this podcast right now, may have made assumptions about what's important to your boss. But if you put those assumptions to the side, what do you actually have evidence of? And I talk about this all the time. I mean, we all do. We talk about this. What is the behavior, right? Mm-hmm. What have you actually observed? So, you know, what is it that your boss seems to really want? Start talking to them about that. How can you help? What can you do, right? Where do you fall into place there? What information can you provide? Communication gets a lot easier when you're talking about something that the other person is really interested in or motivated by.
And that means doing at least a little research about their personal interests. You know, you can download TikTok. Nothing happens to your phone, I promise. Watch YouTube. Read about pickleball. Don't dismiss whatever it is that your boss is interested in because it's for young people or for old people. And games and websites and memes appeal to people. They're popular because they appeal to people, not an age group necessarily. And sometimes, you know, maybe it's only the young people that have discovered TikTok. But I tell you, the old people will get there eventually because it has all of its attractions for young people, which will also attract old people because they're all people.
Yeah. There's a common complaint in all these articles about generational communication issues. It's that the boss or the direct, quote, doesn't understand my perspective, right? The only way to get over that is to share your perspective and be willing to listen to the other person's. This doesn't mean agreeing, right? It means being open-minded and understanding. This too isn't about age, but about the differences in all humans. You're not doing something here that you would for a person who was born at the same time as you. I mean, there are so many different people that I interact with that are the same age as me. Mm-hmm. We're wildly different, just completely different. And that's okay. That's good. It should be celebrated. So I do think, and Wendy, you can cut this out. We can have Paul cut this out if we need to. But I would be willing to say, this is going to be a little aggressive, but trying to communicate based on, you know, generational differences or other demographic differences, I would argue it's lazy.
Yeah.
It's not putting in the work to get to know the person, right? It's almost arrogant to say, I know you because you were born in 1981.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. How arrogant is that?
I agree with you completely. And I don't think we should cut that out because I think it's important. Yeah, it's dealing with people as if they're cardboard cutouts and they're not. They're individuals.
Yeah.
And don't assume that based on a person's age, they need more or less explanation about what it is you're explaining. Mm-hmm. For example, you might decide that a user group room on Clubhouse is a good idea. Don't assume that your 25-year-old boss knows what that is or that your 50-year-old boss doesn't. I did a poll as to in manager tools as to who knew what Clubhouse was and who didn't. And it was completely random. There was no age, no gender, no internet savviness. The tech team didn't know and the rest of us didn't. It was completely random. So you can't assume that somebody knows or doesn't know about something.
Yeah, I remember when you asked that a few months ago when you were probably writing this cast or working on it. I was like, Clubhouse? What is that?
Yeah.
I thought Andrew's the Crackers. Young. I thought, I mean, I'm not that young, but yeah, of everyone on the team, I'm probably on the younger side. And I was lost at Clubhouse. I was so lost. But then I looked it up and I was like, oh, that is kind of neat. Mm-hmm. I totally could see how that would be a thing.
So you can no more make assumptions about someone's knowledge based on their age than you can about their communication style or anything else. And you might be having communication problems with a boss, but it's not because of your age or their age. It's because you're not listening and adapting to their personal communication preferences. And the good thing is, this is really easily fixed. Just start listening. Just turn off the brain, turn off the piece that says, this person is this age, this color, this sex, this whatever, and start looking at the individual. It's easy.
Yeah. By saying that, you're basically saying there's nothing that is going to get fixed because their age can't change.
Exactly.
That's it, right? Their age is their age. So
that's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.